This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage, a special spring training edition of Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, along with John Brazier. Welcome to Clearwater, John. You just got in yesterday, right?
I did. I was in. I kind of have a good routine going here. I go to Fort Lauderdale with my family for a week vacation, and I get tanned because then people, when they see me down here, they say, "Oh, Brazier's not working. He's obviously got a tan." Well, I was down on vacation, right? And then I drive across Alligator Alley, come here. And actually, I went right to the ballpark in Dunedin and did a post-game show with Kevin Stocker. So
nice.
Here I am.
Yeah. Well, and so is Jim Haley's with us, joining us this morning. And Jim from Lansdale.
Yes, and it's the first time ever that a St. Joe's prep guy and a Havard School guy is interviewing a Monsignor Bonner guy for a Phillies podcast.
And that's exactly why we wanted to get Jim on the podcast. Jim,
guys,
welcome, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, it's great having you.
First of all, how cool is this?
I know.
You're playing for the
Phillies.
You're wearing a Phillies shirt right here.
I still don't think it's quite hit me yet, but I'm here. Yeah, living the childhood dream and having a blast with it so far.
Yeah, had you ever been to Clearwater? You were drafted by Tampa Bay, but had you ever been to Clearwater before?
So never as a fan growing up. It was 2018. I was here in the Florida State League, and first time back since 2018. On the other side, a little more advanced in my baseball career. I've grown up a little bit, so pretty neat.
Did you ever have it in the back of your head? Like, I know you get drafted by Tampa, so you're not thinking, you're thinking you're going to be with Tampa. I'm assuming you're thinking you're going to be with Tampa for a long time. But did you ever have in the back of your head, man, it would be pretty cool to play for my hometown?
So it's always a thought in the back of your head. But when I got drafted and as I played a few years in a pro ball, that kind of dissipates and it turns into, like, the job aspect. And you really realize, like, if this is what I want to do for a living, the team doesn't quite matter. It's more, how do I get to the big leagues and how do I stay there?
Yeah, but John and I don't subscribe to that, Jim. Sorry. You know, it's like, you know, you're sitting there on draft day, and when Tampa comes, like, no, I'm staying here until the Phillies draft me. I'm not playing for another team. I grew up a Phillies fan. I was like, John, could you ever play for, I don't know, the Giants?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I'll play for whoever pays me and drafts me.
Exactly.
First of all, can you explain what dissipates mean? Because this is St. Joe's prep guy right here.
Yeah
right.
Well, I have to,
hold
up
a lot
my
of explaining
here.
This podcast.
So growing up, and, you know, John and I love having, athletes on and ball players, because John and I both played, but we stopped playing at a certain age when, okay, it's not happening. Growing up in Lansdale, down going to Bonner, I mean, were you always kind of like the best baseball player on the team?
I don't know that I would say the best. I get that question a lot. I played for a super talented team at Bonner, and then I'm sure this will come up too. I come from a huge family. I'm one of 10.
10 kids.
Yeah. 8 brothers and a sister. So I had the lineage before me at Bonner, and I grew up going to those games, and those teams were always awesome too. I think there was a couple of Catholic League titles in there. So when I got to Bonner, our team was obviously very good. I still don't think I was the best player in the team. I'll throw a few names out there later on in the podcast, but we never ended up winning anything. I think we won a city title, never the Catholic League, which obviously is the crown jewel for a Catholic League athlete.
Sure.
I don't know that I would say I was the – I'm sure other people would think otherwise, but I played with some super talented athletes going through Bonner.
Are any of those guys playing professional ball at this point?
Playing professional ball at this point, no, I don't think they are. I don't think they are, and obviously there's a big-time prospect coming out of Bonner this year. And Kevin McGonigal, but from guys that I played with, I don't think anybody from Bonner is in pro ball. I think there's a couple Catholic League guys.
So where were you in the number at number 10? Where were you?
Right in the middle, 5.
Right in the middle.
And 4 older brothers, 4 younger brothers, and then my younger sister right below me.
So I've got a buddy of mine who basically the Chambers family, and they literally would call by their number. Like, literally, the parents would say, number 4.
What?
You know, Tim Chambers and Pat Chambers.
Pat Chambers is now the head coach at FGCU.
Yes, exactly right.
Okay, that's a
funny
story.
Buddy of mine.
So here we go. I'll get into that real quick. So a guy I went to school with at Bonner, and then I was roommates with at Penn State. Kev Hudash is his name. So while I was at Penn State, Pat Chambers is obviously the head coach of the basketball team. My buddy Kev, who's my roommate, gets onto the staff as a I forget what he started out as, and then became grad assistant. And then Chambers went to LaSalle last year, and now is at FGCU. Yep. So he brought Kev down with him. Last week we were in Fort Myers. We had the overnight trip, so Kev took me on a little tour of the FGCU campus.
Nice.
And there's the other, the Chambers connection slash Penn State slash.
That is really a small world. Yeah, I used to hang out with Pat way back in the day in Avalon.
Okay.
You know, in the beach house and whatever with a bunch of, you know, 10 different guys in there. Yeah. So, yeah, and Pat's come up here to spring training a bunch of times. Yeah.
Does that happen a lot, Jim, like in terms of, you know, like do you see other guys from Philly or the Philly area as you make your way through the minors?
Oh, a ton. Uh-huh. A ton. It's, I mean, you guys know how it is. It's such a small world. I was in Montgomery, Alabama in 21. And that, I use this example because that's like the last place I would expect to see, you know what I mean, Delco people. But multiple times throughout that season, you walk, you come across people before or after games with some sort of shirt, whether it be a Wawa or a Delco or a, just the reference of, hey, Bonner. And it's what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And I mean, how did you get here?
Well, I also like the fact, too, you know, you were born in an age where when you were hitting, you know, 12, 13 years old, the Phillies were starting to,
you know,
that was the 2006, 2007. So did you go to a lot of games? Were you at the ballpark a lot?
So I didn't go to many games just because I was always playing some sort of sport, especially in the summer. It was baseball transitioned straight into football. So I didn't go to many games, but you better believe I was watching.
Especially
with those teams. I was watching a good bit of those games.
Yeah, did you have a favorite player?
I said, I mean, I was up the middle guy. I was a shortstop growing up, so I liked Rollins. I liked Utley. But that whole team, I mean, coming up, there was a lot of good athletes. Chooch, Howard, Burrell, Rowan. Yeah. I mean, you name it back then.
Yeah. Now, like a lot of guys, it's they're multi-sport athletes. So JT Realmuto obviously was probably could have played quarterback anywhere. He was getting recruited big-time places. His uncles were great wrestlers. I think JT was also a great wrestler. And then you look at even Jimmy Rollins. You mentioned Jimmy. Jimmy was a point guard, basketball player, you know, so – and I know you were quarterback, right, at Bonner?
Yes.
So did you ever think, was it always baseball or could it have been football?
Growing up, it was always baseball. I really did have a love for football, and I got some interest going into my junior year that I don't know that I really expected it because it was always baseball for me. So it definitely was a quick thought there for a second. But going into that junior summer, it definitely became strictly baseball. People ask me all the time, I don't want to say I regret it, but I really did love football, and I think there was a couple schools that were going to let me go two-way.
So did you stop playing football, or you just didn't know you weren't going to go?
No, I played through my senior season.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Yeah, and then for college, it was strictly baseball.
And were you an option type? Were you a running type quarterback?
I was
definitely
pro-style? A run type first. So I wasn't a quarterback growing up. It was my freshman year, I guess, they kind of just threw me in there. Sophomore year, I wasn't the starting quarterback. I was mainly a defensive first guy. And then going into junior year, same deal. They kind of just threw me under center as the athlete, but definitely a run first type player.
Penn State quarterback though wasn't in your. You know, you go to Penn State.
See, that's
who would
a
you have to
animal.
Knock off?
That was a different. Back when I was there, Hackenberg.
Yeah. Right? Hackenberg. Sure.
But yeah, Penn State football is a different beast than the Catholic League.
All right, so you get to Penn State, and that's another. And I guess you were looking at other schools too. Were you drafted out of high school or? For baseball, did you get drafted or and then go to college or just go to college, play there, and then you get drafted out of college?
I was never drafted out of high school. A little bit of interest, but I think I made it pretty clear that I was going to college.
Okay.
So didn't get drafted out of high school. Went to Penn State for my 3 years. Did pretty well there. Drafted out of my junior year in the 19th round by the Rays in 16.
Okay.
So.
And was that basically where you expected to be? Did you have any preconceived notions of where you might land?
No, I didn't. I actually had to do a presentation for one of my classes in college, and I think I put myself in that range just based off of numbers and stats. But me, I just wanted the opportunity. It didn't really matter.
Right.
I mean, I made that pretty known going into the draft for all the teams that reached out. It was just like, I just want a chance. Probably not the best for my stock and the actual signing purposes, but I didn't really care. I just wanted to play baseball.
But how was that day? Were you at home? Like, how did you get work?
So I was actually at my my girlfriend's house on the couch. And later on rounds, there's not much of a – it's kind of just like they call you and say, hey, we're going to pick you. So I got a call, and there was no – I don't think I had heard from the Rays pre-draft. And then I had gotten a call from one of the scouts and said, hey, listen, man, we're thinking about taking you next round. And I was like immediately like, oh, okay. Like, again, I'm not – is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? I don't know. Is he lying to me? And then I got a call about 15 minutes later, and he was like, hey, man, we just took you in the 19th round. It's kind of pretty surreal. Again, something that didn't really hit me right away. But awesome. Again, something every kid dreams of.
And you went and to short season A ball. Where was that?
The Penn League. I was in Hudson Valley.
Oh, Hudson. Okay.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Great experience.
Yeah.
And then that I think I got
by the
my
way,
first.
By the way, he's the best friend of the Fanatic, as you know. So he's been to every minor league baseball stadium.
Yeah,
there
you been go. To a lot of ballparks.
In the country.
Good, well, I knew, and then eventually got to Durham. And I followed the Fanatic to Durham back in the early 90s. It was just before they built the new ballpark. So the Fanatic did the old ballpark where they filmed, you know, Bull Durham. Yep. But how'd you like playing in Durham?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a great baseball town.
Up to this point, it's probably my favorite place I've ever played. Unbelievable baseball town. Small, little, cool city-type feel. The fans are unbelievable. They pack the place Tuesday through Sunday now that we have the off days on Monday. The stadium's great. The people are great. Not a bad word to say about it. It's probably my favorite place I've played up to this point.
I guess
point.
If you play for the Durham Bulls, I mean, is the
obviously
initiation,
the Sharks of it too.
You have to watch the movie. Like, does everybody watch it every Friday or something?
I would bet if you asked half of the roster this year, probably more than half, half of them would say they never even heard
of
it.
Is that true?
Well, you know what's funny? I mean,
I've seen
about
the movie.
Tom.
I've seen the movie.
We're getting old, man.
I know.
Movie is a long time ago.
It's such a good
flick. It is. It's as good of a movie about minor league baseball as there is, though.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
All right, so then this offseason, you become a free agent, minor league free agent, right? So you can go with anybody. So was your heart set on Phillies, or did it naturally come into play?
So back to that first conversation about, like, was it always the Phillies? Coming into this offseason as a free agent, like you said, it's kind of free reign. I get to go wherever I want and or whoever wants me, wherever the interest is. So going into the offseason, I didn't really have a set team. Like, at this point in your career, you're kind of looking for opportunity.
Yep.
So going to the offseason, no preference. My agent had called and said a few teams had reached out. There's a little bit of interest, which is cool. Like, that's all I was looking for. I didn't have the greatest year last year. I was just hoping to have some sort of opportunity coming into the season. So he called and named, there's probably five or six teams that he had told me were interested, Phillies being one of them. And at that point, the Phillies kind of sit in the back of your head as, like, again, the hometown kid, is it just like a courtesy? Is it, I don't really know. It would be really cool if that happened. But at that time, they were kind of out of those six teams. I kind of put them on the back burner thinking, again, it's kind of, what are the chances it's going to happen? And then I think he called me, it was 2 weeks after that initial call, and said the Phillies are really interested. They're thinking about making an offer. So same thing, kind of like, whoa. The Phillies are the first team that's going to make an offer. Okay. So then he calls the next day and said, here's the offer. It's a pretty good one. And right away, again, in my head, as soon as the offer was made, I kind of was like, done deal for me type deal.
Yep.
But I said, do your due diligence, reach out to whoever you have to, see if there's anything else on the table. But in my head at that point, and even knowing what this roster was and what this team is.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It was a kind of a no-brainer for me.
Now, were you excited to talk to your siblings, to your parents, your friends, say, hey, guess what? I'm gonna be with the Phillies.
So when I got the initial phone call, it's like the unofficial official type deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I still had to sign the paper, so I had to hold it in for a week. Me and my now fiance had to hold it in for a week. Not so hard for me. I think it was tough on her a little bit. But when we finally did get to tell them the news, it was pretty cool. I think they were probably more jacked up than I was, and still are, honestly. I shouldn't say that. It's a blast being here, but again, it's different from the player perspective.
Yes,
being on the fan side of it. But
I tell you what, too, it's you know, you're the type of player, too, that, you know, right now versatility is so big. So you look at, you know, sometimes people get pigeonholed, and if you're just a first baseman or if you're just a, you know, right fielder, then you get pigeonholed. But you played shortstop in college, right? You played pretty much everywhere in the infield. You played center field, right? So,
yes.
And that gives a lot of people, you know, guys like that leg up, because that's what a lot of teams are looking for, that that super utility guy.
Yep. I kind of pride myself in being an athlete on the field. I don't even – people call it the utility role. I kind of just have always – like, I'm an athlete.
Yep.
I'm an athlete. I like to play where I can. But I learned early on with the Rays, and they do a good job of developing those type of players. But early on with the Rays, they kind of made it known to me, like, if I think your best path is probably going to be the utility role, as they draft athletes. That's what Rays do. They draft athletes.
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's almost like I would almost take it – if I'm drafted by the Rays – I'm taking that as a badge of honor, because the Rays literally, they do as much with little, meaning they're not spending money. They're in that toughest division, arguably, almost every year. And every year they're like, the Rays, who do they have? They lost so-and-so. They lost so-and-so. And every year they're in the playoffs, right? So it's almost a badge of honor. If you're getting drafted by the Rays.
Yes. They do a heck of a job. And even being in the organization for 7 years, I couldn't pinpoint the exact recipe that they have to do it, but they do a really good job of whatever it is that they do. And I'm in the organization for 7 years, you know, and I can't really tell you what the secret is, but they do a good job overall of everything. Don't have a bad word to say about the organization. I had a great experience, but obviously they're doing something right.
And after you get word you're coming to the Phillies, at some point somebody from the Phillies, do they reach out to you and say, hey, this is how we see you? Do they chart a little bit of, you know, your path a little bit? Obviously, it's a veteran. We have a veteran team and a team that went to the National League. Do you get a sense on, you know, what your role is going to be?
So I think everybody's experience is probably a little different. When I had signed, I don't think anybody reached out specifically about what my role was going to be. But again, I had a pretty good idea coming in. Again, this roster is basically, I mean, they got the meat on their bones of what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. But being the utility guy, I kind of knew that's probably going to be my role, fill in where I can. And then coming into camp, it seems like, again, they knew exactly what they wanted with that lineup. They signed a lot of utility guys that can play everywhere, which, again, is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Coming in, I don't think there wasn't really a plan laid out or anything. But then as you get into camp, you kind of see and what they want from you, and they give you a little bit better idea of how it's gonna go.
All right, so let's talk about the camp. You're in camp. You must have followed the playoffs last year, just as a fan and as a someone in baseball. So you're familiar with these guys, maybe not personally.
Yes.
But how's it been so far interacting with, you know, a lot of the guys that, again, you watched during that playoff run?
Yeah. So you get a lot of questions from back home. Again, coming from a huge family, it's kind of everybody wants to know how so-and-so, and nobody.
Do you give them the full dirt, or do you?
No. Well, that's the funny thing, because even me coming in, it's like being in baseball for so long. You see all these players, is what I call it. Like I know them as players. I don't know them as the people yet. Whereas in the Rays system, I knew the person and the player.
People, right?
So then getting into this locker room, I mean, it was like my first day. It was like such a good positive experience talking to some of the veteran guys, and right then I knew. Again, being in the game for so long, and I tell people all the time, like, games are won on the field, but a big part of it is the locker room.
Sure.
And that's what the people don't get to see, is the locker room aspect. And I knew right away, within a week, it's like, it's no secret why they went as far as they did last year. You know what I mean? Not a bad experience in the locker room yet, but no dirt, no specifics, but these guys have been awesome so far.
But you're totally right, because it all depends on that veteran leadership. If that veteran leadership are great players on the field, but they're not really good leaders or you know, not good people, then that can trickle down big time to the rest of the team. Whereas when you look at this team, when you got JT and Schwarber and Harper and Reese and guys that have been around for a long time, every one of those guys is totally solid. Great, you know what I mean?
Solid.
It's totally solid.
I mean, top to bottom.
Right.
Well, and how they handle young players, too. It was, said last year that, you know, we have those young players, the daycare group, you know, Boehm and Stott and some of these players. And the leadership said, hey, there's not going to be any orientation. There's not going to be any initiating. There's not going to be any hazing. We're going to be yourself. You don't have to cower in a corner just because you're a rookie. And I think you're seeing some of that some of the positives.
Yeah, the best version of the player comes out when you're comfortable, right? And it's like, if you're feeling like you have to prove yourself in front of some of these veteran guys, or they're treating you a certain way in the locker room, like you kind of got to earn your keep before you get in with us. You know what I mean? That type of mentality. Like, you're not going to be your best self on the field, which I think they understand, because again, we've had meetings where they know it's going to take more than what they have, right? It's going to take 40, 50, 60 guys in a year to get to where you want to go. And they've embraced that, and obviously it's paying off.
Is there one person that's been, or a couple of people that have taken you under their wing?
I wouldn't say under their wing, but Reese has been great. Reese has been, I think, if I have any issue, I feel super comfortable. Not that I'm super close with him. Mm-hmm. If I have any sort of issue, I feel no problem going to him. Schwarber's been awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's not even the interaction, just watching him being around. He seems like a great guy. But like I said, the whole locker room's been great. Haven't had a bad experience yet.
And then even staying down here, do you have roommates? You guys kind of live together, or where are you staying down here?
I'm in an apartment separately with my fiance.
Oh.
And at this level, I think most guys are, especially with those guys. I know a lot of them have kids or married. So, but I know a good, and even I'm getting into that now where like you hang out with the guys you get to know. I wouldn't say I've hung out with everybody, has kind of their groups and whatnot. But obviously, like I said, past the field, like you're hanging out off the field. And obviously as we get closer and I get closer with people, I look to start doing that as well. But, yeah, everyone's kind of on their own outside of the field.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Depending all right, on their situation.
Let's go back to Delco here. So, first of all, Ben Davis is from Aston.
Yeah.
Ben. Right? So, when I met Ben, when did Ben start? A long time ago. I said, knowing I was going to get this reaction, I said, hey, Ben, you know, John Brazier, I said, I'm from Delco. He is, you're from Delco? Where are you from, Delco? Right. He's expecting me to say whatever, somewhere.
Yeah, right.
And I said, I'm from St. David's. He said, that's not Delco. And then I knowing went to Malvern, and Malvern guys hate Havard School guys. Yep. So I said, yep. I also was an Interact guy. He's like, yeah, what school were you? I said, Havard School. He's like, oh. Yeah, no. He's like, double strike.
It's always funny to me, because I had somebody the other day, I was signing autographs, and somebody came up to me, it's Havertown. So a lot of my family's from Havertown. Yep. Upper Darby, they border each other. And this one guy looked over and he said, that's not Delco. And I said, where are you from? And I think he said, like, Glen Mills or something. I said, come on, dude.
Right.
That can be Delco, but that's not Delco. Delco to me, again, depends on where you're from.
Spent a lot of time at the stadium right in Howard
Town.
Yeah.
Yep. I spent most of my freshman, sophomore days hanging out there on the weekends.
Yeah. All right. So then let's go to Mayor of Easttown, right? So you saw Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah, a couple
and
years
that,
back.
That kind of put Delco on the national, I guess, international map now.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Kate Winslow's Delco accent? Now, they made fun of it on Saturday Night Live, but what was your? Did you think they did a good job capturing Delco?
I guess, in a sense, they did a good job of some accent, and I know we were talking about this, maybe a little forced, and I've been approached by a few people over the years that I do have some sort of accent, but it's one of those things, you know what I mean? I don't know that I have an accent, or I don't even when talking. I guess if you're a Felco Delconian, you don't even realize the accent,
right?
But yeah, maybe a little forced.
I don't hear an accent.
Yeah, I don't know. You? Maybe it's when I get around the baseball people, I lose it. It's like one of those things you get around like a Southerner, you kind of get that. Little
Although John, when Jim walked in, he saw your Wawa cup. He's like, I need a Wawa. I need a Wawa cup of coffee. It's like, oh yeah, he's Delco.
Yep. Yeah, I grew up on the Wawa, and then once I got in the coffee, it's all I drink.
Now, do you follow all the other sports? Flyers, Sixers.
I do.
Eagles?
Yeah, I do.
It's a shame you weren't, I don't know. Now, yesterday you took BP against somebody, and I you went yard.
Yeah.
Who was that against?
Nelson.
Right. Exactly right. Nick Nelson. I knew you went yard. But yesterday, if you stuck around, when did you leave here?
When did I leave here yesterday?
Probably like noon?
One,
okay.
One?
Well, some of the Flyers came here.
Did they?
Jameson and I gave them a tour. And we had Carter Hart. We had Owen Tippett. We had Scott Laughton.
Ah, no way.
And we had Joel Farabee.
I wish I had.
Yeah, because they're playing tonight, right, John?
They're playing tonight.
Where are they? In Tampa?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
If you want tickets, I might be able to help you out here. So we'll talk
off
the air.
You know what? Yeah.
Because I'm going tonight with a high school buddy, whatever guy. I went to UVA, a guy from UVA, and then Kevin Stocker, our broadcaster, okay. is. We're all going to the
yeah,
game.
We're gonna
so
have
playing
to chat
the Lightning.
About that after this.
All right, we'll talk. You know what? Tell you what. If you do well in the quiz, which we're gonna have after,
then pressure's we'll. Pressure's on now.
You want to do the quiz?
Go yeah, right to let's
the quiz?
See what Jim can do.
All
pressure's
right.
on now.
You know what? Let's just go right to that. So, Jim, we have a quiz, and thanks
okay.
for, by the way, for
yeah.
being our guest.
I
great to get to
you
know
you.
It's 8 questions, multiple eight. Choice. Tom, what's the bar for Flyers Lightning tickets tonight?
I mean, that is the best probably
incentive we've had.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because normally it's like a Fanatic book or yeah. a Fanatic hat
the
or something.
Pack, the ultimate prize pack.
Let's still make it. He's got to get 6 out of 8.
We gave Hugh Douglas a bucket hat. That was pretty good.
That was a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
What type of trivia are we going for here? Do I get a...
It's about you.
It's about so, you.
You have an inside
me.
Track.
Okay,
you'll crush
good.
This, Jim.
I better.
You are going to crush this. All right.
I hope I get 6 to 8.
6 out of 8. I think you're gonna do well. Here.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brasher's Quiz.
Here we go. First question. As we've said all morning, you grew up in Delaware County. Based on population, what is the largest borough in Delaware County? Now, Chester doesn't count since it's a city, okay? But the largest borough, okay, is it Lansdowne, Yaden, Darby, or Collingdale?
Wow.
Lansdowne, Yaden, Darby, or Collingdale?
Lansdowne, Yaden, Darby, or Collingdale?
Yeah. It's the largest borough in Delaware County.
By population.
Again, Chester would be...
I see.
But Chester's a city. That's yep. not just a borough.
I think I'm going to go with Lansdowne.
Oh, close. It's Yaden.
Yaden.
Yaden's a little
Lansdowne. They're like a little conglomerate.
Yeah, they're kind of right. All right, it's all right. I think
that's
you're
a tough one to start.
I know,
on.
But I think he's going
to
do well here because I think it gets easier.
All right.
All right. Which one of these celebrities never lived in Delaware County? Okay, never lived in Delaware County. Jennifer Aniston, Tina Fey, Will Ferrell, Vince Papale.
So I can go 50-50 here, but Jennifer Aniston, has she ever lived in Delaware County? I don't think so, but Will Ferrell, too. Because I know the other two have lived in Delaware
yes.
County.
Yeah, Tina wow, Fey, Upper Darby.
Goodness gracious.
Tom Burgoyne has met Tina Fey.
Yes.
And Vince Papale is good friends of ours. He's been on our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so Jennifer Aniston, Will Ferrell, you are right. It's down to those two.
I mean, I feel like out of... thinking the obvious, Jennifer Aniston. Oh, man.
Jennifer Aniston.
She lived in Delta.
She lived in Did Eddystone. She?
Really?
No
yes.
Way.
She lived
when?
In Eddystone, and then her dad got a job in New York,
ah.
and they moved to New York.
Wow.
Yeah. How about
off
that
to a
one?
Brutal start
I did
here.
Not know. Yeah.
I gotta
run the table
up on my Delco history right. here.
This should be a little easier. You played at Penn State, as we talked about. Which of these celebrities did not go to Penn State? Terry, probably going to butcher the name, Pegula, who's the owner of the Buffalo Bills.
Pegula,
thank
okay.
you. I knew I'd butcher
that. He's from
that
there. The okay. ice arena is named after him.
Yeah, I know. He's like he basically sponsored the whole
yes.
hockey program. Ty Burrell, who plays Phil in Modern Family. Saquon Barkley and Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. So, who did not go to Penn State?
Oh, man.
Terry what did you say?
Pegula.
Pegula, Ty Burrell, who played Phil in Modern Family. Saquon Barkley or Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
Again, I... Man, there's the two. I mean, I've already got my two, so I'm just going to go Cranston.
You're right. Bryan
right.
Cranston.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Nice.
Here we
nice.
Go.
I didn't know Phil from Modern Family went to Penn State, but now I do after doing this research.
I didn't know that either. That's
you also went
classic.
To Monsignor Bonner in Drexel Hill, which we talked about. Which celebrity did not go to Bonner? By the way, I guess Rob.
I better know this one.
I should have put Rob Ellis in here because Rob,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
Rob Ellis
yes,
is
of course.
A friend of both of ours. Yeah. Bonner, pride of Bonner.
Legend.
All right, so who did not go to Bonner? Dave Matthews. John Nash, who's the NBA GM of many teams, Jamie Kennedy, John Cappelletti. So Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews.
Yes, Dave Matthews from South Africa.
Yeah.
So, yes,
yeah.
It's a little far from
Bonner.
Yeah, from Bonner.
Yeah.
All right, you're on a roll now.
Here we go.
Right? Two
Here
for four.
Go. Here we go.
All right, you were drafted in 2016. Who was not a first-round pick that year?
Whoa.
Who was not a first-round pick that year? Gavin Lux. Ian Anderson, Pete Alonso, Nick Senzel. They were all
That's
drafted. They were all
yeah.
drafted in 2016, and one of them was a second-round draft pick.
Of course, one of them's a second-round
pick. I know. Gavin Lux, Ian Anderson, Pete Alonso, Nick Senzel.
me do my math here. Senzo was a first rounder. Lux had to have been a first rounder.
And then it would be between Ian
Anderson and Alonzo.
Yeah, your math is already.
Yeah.
You're always down to a 50-50.
Yeah, I know.
You're now down to Ian Anderson and Pete Alonzo. And this is not
and
Ian Anderson, the lead singer of Jethro Tull, by the way.
Normally the pitcher would be the first round talent. So Pete Alonzo.
Pete Alonzo, second round draft pick.
Nice deduction there, Jim.
Yeah, right just there.
Do, you know what I mean? Some sort of
that
reasoning.
Was some
in the head.
Brett
yeah.
reasoning.
He
right
is
there.
On a roll. Yeah. I think you're going to do well here. Next two. Last one might be a little hard.
Okay.
In 2016, you played for the Hudson Valley Renegades in the New York Penn League. Which one of these guys was not a teammate? Okay, now that's
– I don't get this. I know,
because I usually do this to guys that have that played a long time ago.
70-year-old guys.
I'll do like Dickie Knowles from 19-whatever, you know, but you have to guess who was not your teammate. Miles Mastroboni.
He's a teammate.
Garrett Fulenchek, Brock Burke, Dan McDonough.
Dan McDonough. All right, good.
You know who Dan McDonough is?
Dan McDonough. The name's – it's got to be someone from Delco, right?
No. He's assistant general manager here at the
– Oh, okay.
You've seen him around.
I'm sure I have.
During the games, he's actually the one that – he doesn't do it in open, but he sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
there
he's
we go.
Legend.
He's a legend here. He's been here for many years. All right, so you were on a – I think he's got, what, four in a row right here?
Yes, he's got four in a row. He needs to get the last two.
I never know if players know their numbers, right? You never know their numbers.
They do.
They do?
Yeah. Jim's going to know.
Go ahead.
Like
All
their
right.
numbers, their
– There's a lot of numbers. So
that he wore?
No. How many career home runs do you have in the minor leagues?
Those kind of numbers.
Man.
I thought you were talking about uniform numbers.
How many career home runs do you have in the minor leagues? Is it 57, 64, 45, or 48? 57, 64, 45, or 48.
All right, I got to go back to the math because I got to get these two.
Now, Tom, do you think – you would think you would know. Like,
not necessarily.
No. Meaning like
somewhere.
Me or you. Like, these guys are so humble. They don't – you know what I mean? They're like – that's what I'm saying. They don't know. Like, if I played – if I had this many home runs, I'd be like, I know exactly how many home runs. Meaning, because I think I'm basically saying I'm not humble.
You would know every hit you had.
Any positive stats.
Yes. There'd be a story behind it, too.
I would forget the negative stats, and I'd go with the positive stats.
What were the options again?
Yeah. All right, so you got 57, 64, 45, 48. I'll give you a hint.
You had 18 last year.
Now, usually in the SATs, you usually eliminate the bottom and you eliminate the top, right? So it's usually, I'm going to get you in that 50-50 mode. So you can just throw out the 45
and throw out
the 64. So I'm giving you that hint there. So it's between 57 and 48.
How many home runs have I hit over the years? I'm going to say 48.
Oh, 57.
Really? Oh, that's fine, though. I'm okay with being wrong on that one.
All right. Humble. Jim's humble.
All right. If you get this one, and I'll give you a lifeline on this one, you win Tampa Lightning tickets. Tampa Lightning
Something
tickets.
Tells me he's going to get the tickets anyway, but go ahead, John.
All right. You can use Tom as a lifeline
Hopefully.
For the last
that's,
question.
That's usually not very helpful,
All
but
right.
go ahead, John.
The Phillies started training in Clearwater in 1947. It is the second longest team-slash-relationship in Major League Baseball. What team-slash-city is number one? They started in 1934. Is it the Cardinals in Jupiter, the Red Sox in Fort Myers, the Tigers in Lakeland, or the Pirates in Bradenton? Now, again, you can use a lifeline over here. He looks pretty confident over here.
He is pretty confident, so I think I'm going to go straight to him.
Straight to him, huh? You haven't played down there yet?
I don't know.
Why don't you go with what you're thinking, but that doesn't count as your guess?
I'm just trying to think. Fort Myers is fairly newer.
Yep.
Bradenton's kind of old, I think, somewhat. Lakeland, I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, go to your lifeline.
All right, then I would say Lakeland.
Lakeland and the Tigers.
You are correct. That is correct.
Oh, beautiful. Very good.
Assuming my boy Brian can help me out with Jim Haley's, we can go into the Flyers game.
We need you, Brian.
Tremendous.
It, guys. Yeah, that was awesome.
And if you've ever been to Lakeland, it's an old facade. It's pretty cool. They've renovated it since, but it's a pretty cool ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's literally a little, is it a pond or it's kind of a big pond. that's near the right near the clubhouse. And there's like an old alligator that they call it by name that's in that pond. Yeah, now it's really close to the clubhouse. So when someone told me that, I'm like, well, how old is this alligator?
Yeah, right.
How fast can it move?
He's not too hungry.
Yeah.
But, Jim, this was great. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Really appreciate it. Really, thank you. Good luck the rest of the camp.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people in Delaware Valley that are rooting for the local kid to make it. So good luck, and we look forward to let's stay in touch throughout the whole year.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks again, Jim. We'll be right back right after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. And how cool is Jim Haley, John?
You know, it's a great story, and you know
we're rooting for him now, right?
I think everybody's rooting for the guy that, you know, again, how cool is that? We drafted Mike Costanzo out of Carroll.
Right. I remember that.
And I think a lot of people are rooting for someone. You got to love the local story. Phil Goslin was on our team at a Malvern Prep. So we've had a couple of these situations, but it'd be great if Jim, and again, he's versatile. So that could help in that Nick Maton type role.
Sure.
You know, who we lost in the offseason. So. Yeah. But there's a lot of competition. So, but you know, now I know I'm going to be rooting for him going forward. So.
Yeah. And I asked him, you know, I guess at that age, it's not like they do have a path when they come to a team. It's like you go out there, you play, and then they tell you, okay, we think you should be Lehigh Valley, or we think you should be at Reading, or like it's not like they draft you and say, hey, we see you. I think you come to camp and it's, you do your thing.
I think you got
to
block everything out.
Right.
You got to just, you know, you don't look at your teammates as competitors. You basically do as best you can do, show the versatility, show what your strengths are, and then, and even if you go to AAA, then do the same thing, and then who knows? Someone gets traded, someone gets injured, they need you for some role, and boom. And then once you get your foot in the door, just like in a job, you make sure you do well. So.
Yeah, well, we're rooting for Jim Haley. And so we just talked about you came down, John. Now, generally, when you come down here to Clearwater, you sit on a beach for like 4 weeks. But are you actually going to be working down here? Or
Tom, this is my 30th spring training.
30th spring
Although,
training.
I shouldn't say that because of the pandemic.
Correct.
And, so I think this is whatever – take the pandemic out of the way.
Yeah.
This should be my 30th spring training. So so my job down here is I usually wait till the game start. That's why I got down a little later. And because I bring radio stations down. So starting tomorrow, we're broadcasting this on Tuesday, the 7th. But starting tomorrow, we're going to have some radio stations that'll be down here. So I know Ike Reese and John Marks.
Yep.
Jack Fritz will be down here doing broadcast Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I did a radio show on my local radio show, WBCB. Did that last Sunday after the post game. I went right to Dunedin. And I'll be doing co-hosting with you this Sunday. So I'll be doing that pretty much every Sunday. But then again, WIP will be broadcasting live this week. And then the following week, we have Anthony Gargano, 97.5. Doing 3 days down here, and then Preston and Steve, WMMR, will be broadcasting.
How excited do those guys
Day.
Get? Right, and I know how excited they get, but I mean, it is pretty cool. They circle this on their calendar. You know, Preston and Steve. I know the WIP guys.
Yep.
You know, Fanatic. You know,
I think they get very excited, especially I'm sure some of the Angelo who just retired. Mm. Now Angelo probably saw it more as a nuisance to kind of get at it. Philadelphia and the comfort zone of the studio and all that. But, when you get a lot of, more of the younger folks, and no slight to Angelo, Angelo came down here many times, and I'm sure he enjoyed himself down here. But when you get the younger guys and you get down here, you're doing the broadcast in the ballpark. You're getting to know the players like we just did right here with Jim. You're interacting with the players in a more casual environment, so they get to know these guys pretty well, which then helps them during the season that if they call and say, hey, can we get Reese on during the season? Well, Reese had that personal interaction with them while they're down here. And maybe they might run into them down at the, you know, at a restaurant or somewhere down here. So they get, they build relationships down here, and then, you know, obviously they're getting out of the weather too.
Yes.
So they're coming down here and,
we get to play a tour guide. So it's, I love when somebody's come down, you know, for the first time, or even your group that will come down and, you know, just showing them different parts of the town and getting them down to the beach and the best sun places for sunset. And, you know, I just love turning them on to the Clearwater area.
I agree with you, because again, we had the Flyers down here, and we Jameson Hall, our traveling secretary, and I gave him a tour. And we had a handful of guys, and they were talking about what's this like as a spring training town. I said, well, I said, if you're a player and you're going to pick a town, you're going to pick a team based on the spring training facility, which they don't, obviously.
No,
they're trying to find the opportunity. But let's say that was the sole criteria, right? They're going to pick a team because of where they train in spring training. You know, Arizona's fine, but they all are the same place.
Yeah,
right?
They're just ballparks in the middle of a desert.
Right. So, and then you look at down here, now on the East Coast, I'm sure Jupiter and some of the other places are great out there. Clearwater Beach has the restaurants, has fun beach bars, there's golf, world-class golf courses around Tampa. If you want to go into Tampa to see a Lightning game or go see a concert, which you and I have done.
20 minutes away.
20 minutes away, and you're right near the airport. It's this is the best. And the ballpark.
Really is.
The ballpark is there a better ballpark?
No, the ballpark's great. The complex being right next door, so even before the games start, you know, you can watch the players out there on the four fields.
Tiki bar.
Yeah. I think I've told you this. You know, George Steinbrenner came here to a game and talked to Bill Giles and left, you know, midway through the game, you know, irate because he knew we had build a better know, complex and better stadium than what they have over in Tampa, which is, you know, it's not this, that's for
sure. Well, okay, and then you take that because Yankee Stadium, right? Whether it's the old Yankee Stadium, new Yankee Stadium, it's, you know, they always say it's a cathedral, right? And it's built, I mean, it's a beautiful stadium, right? But it's more of like grandiose,
right?
Right? Whereas Citizens Bank is very reflective of BayCare Ballpark. They're both, they're not grandiose. They're actually comforting,
intimate.
And they're intimate, and it's family friendly in the berm where families can go on a, you know, blanket and sit in the outfield, and it's just very family friendly and just, again, the confines of the ballpark, as opposed to you walk into a cathedral and the grandiose pillars and the
Who needs that aggravation?
Who needs that stuff?
Well, and the weather, John. Now you were in Fort Lauderdale for a little bit, so you know how great the weather has been. It's been unbelievable. Last 2 weeks it's been 80 degrees and sunny every day, and it's just been spectacular. However, there have been some days where there's been some wind, John, and I don't know, you were in Fort Lauderdale, so you probably missed it. Last Friday, the Fanatic, you know, as always, he packs his hot dog launcher on the truck, and the hot dog launcher makes its, appearance down here about half of the games. Fanatic shooting hot dogs. And, you know, it's not as easy as it looks, John. I will defend the Fanatic in this regard, in that at the Citizens Bank Park, it's a big stadium. So the Fanatic's up there. It's real easy to hit the seats. This isn't more intimate. It's a smaller ballpark, and the Fanatic always likes cranking up the hot dog launcher. So many times, hot dogs just sail right out of the stadium or right over the berm out close to Route 19. And that's part of the fun, you know.
And do the fans boo that?
They get a kick out of it, but you got to land most of the hot dogs in the seats. That's always the goal. However, Friday, I wake up, I look at my app. Winds are not just gusts, but winds steady 25 to 30 miles an hour on Friday. I thought, I don't know. So I talked to the Fanatic. We talked about it. We weren't sure. Should we even shoot hot dogs? But then we have a little team of people who actually put the hot dog launcher on the truck. They wrap the hot dogs. I kind of put it out to them, and they said, "Nah, let's do it. Let's shoot hot dogs." Okay, I was a little reluctant, as was the Fanatic. He wasn't quite sure it was going to be the right day to shoot. Go out there, John. Now, gusts were in 40 miles an hour, but steady, 25 to 30 miles an hour. He shot about 12 hot dogs that day, John, and only one landed into the crowd.
And one went somewhere else, too, where it shouldn't have gone.
Well, actually, that was a couple days before the Fanatic shot one into the Phillies dugout. I don't know who wound up getting that hot dog.
Did you hit anybody?
I think they saw it coming.
What would happen if the Fanatic shot
somebody's eye out?
And you hit Schwarber in the head, and Schwarber's on the DL because of you.
Well, the Fanatic.
And the Fanatic.
Fanatic might hear about that, but that was not the case because even the Fanatic, he was trying to shoot a lot of them into the wind, and they were going up in the air and then coming back towards him, you know, not even coming close. They were hitting the net that separates the, you know, the field from the seats. So, John, I got to tell you, it was really one of the first times the Fanatic's been booed, you know, that way.
It is spring training, though, so well, for everybody.
That's what I, so believe working, me, he was working out unconsolable, John, you know, afterwards. I was like, Fanatic, John, you said the right thing, because I said, Fanatic, listen. It's spring training for everybody. People understand. But T-Mac, I know, was making a big deal of it on TV. All right,
so we have a lot of players that were here, obviously, last year, and then you have some new players. Is there anybody that's really taken a particular liking to the Fanatic this year?
No, I think they're all getting a kick out of it. You know, it is funny, John. Serious. They when they're on the field, you know, they're kind of, it's just like home. It's kind of business as usual. You know, they try to sign more autographs for fans. The interaction with the Fanatic, there hasn't been too much. Even the visiting team, we've still got some time before the Fanatic starts mixing it up.
Well, the Fanatic spend any considerable time with Jim Haley, our guest today. You, as a best friend, can go tell the Fanatic that we have a Delco guy here.
He might get a ride on the ATV, I think.
Right.
Yep. We're going to – because he's familiar with the Fanatics Act. He's probably familiar with the ATV, so I think that's going to be the goal for the Fanatic.
Just make sure he doesn't end up like SpongeBob.
Yeah, face planting.
Right.
So now you're down here for the rest of the spring training.
Yes, we have all three WIP shows, 97.5. We got WXTU. We got MMR.
Good.
So it's, you know, I guess the fruits of doing so well last year is that everybody wants to be part of the action, whether it's back home buying season tickets, whether it's, you know, sponsors coming on board, whether it's, you know, again, radio stations coming down to broadcast. It's made everyone's life great.
Beautiful. Right? And we're it was 1 week yesterday, because you did say we're recording this on Tuesday, but it was one month from yesterday, opening day at Citizens Bank Park. Thursday, April 6th.
April 6th. Looking forward, and I'm sure the Fanatic has something up his sleeve.
Yeah, he's working on it.
Okay.
All right, John. Well, let's wrap this spring training edition of Phillies Backstage up, and we will see you next time. Thanks, everybody.